is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
The global economy, the American economy. I welcome Elizabeth Peake. She writes a column for The Hill, a column for Fox News, much on Fox Business. Because over these last 5 months, Liz and I, speaking regularly about the economy and the expectations in the market, have gone through a dance of conventional wisdom. And thanks to Brent Donnelly's Substack letter called Friday's Speed Run, I can now do a speed dance through the data that we've said, well, this is what Wall Street thinks. U.S. hard landing, U.S. soft landing, U.S. no landing, China reopening, China slowdown, inflation boom, recession in Germany, regional bank crisis, Fed's going to cut in July, Fed's going to hike in July, OPEC production cuts will take oil back up through the highs. OPEC doesn't matter. They've lost control. U.S. debt crisis. AI will save or kill us all. Okay, that's enough. Liz, I've just gone through conventional wisdom for 5 months. Right now, checking on conventional wisdom about July, Fed's not going to cut. That's the best I've got. Have you got a, you, do you raise me another conventional wisdom? Good evening to you, Liz.
Good evening. Well, let's not even, well, let's first of all deal with June. I mean, this is next week. What's the Fed going to do? Nobody knows. And I have to say, I do think the conversation has gotten slightly hilarious because it is very granular. Everyone expects every reading on the job market, inflation, whatever, to sort of prod the Fed to move one way or another. And there has to be a bigger picture, John. The bigger picture is that inflation's coming down. There's no question about it. The commodity price indexes that are out there show everything coming down. Rents are coming down in terms of rate of increase. So that's a huge part of the CPI, as we know. And by the way, we'll get in time for the next Fed meeting, another CPI reading on June 13. So I think the issue is it going to be coming down fast enough and far enough to allow the Fed to step back? There are an awful lot of people who think that the Fed is going to, is the chance of the Fed erring now on the side of being too tight for too long is more than the chance of the Fed being too relaxed. And actually, I think Jay Powell said the same thing recently. He said, you know, the risk of underdoing it are now about the same as the risk of overdoing it. So they're looking very hard at whether they, the Fed, are going to create a recession. When's it going to happen? This, what I call the reluctant recession, which has yet to emerge. And, you know, whether if they continue to hike rates, whether or not they're going to, in fact, push us over the top on that. So I think all this really kind of misses the point. The point is, again, that inflation has come down. Growth has slowed. There's no question about that. There are sectors of the market that are surprisingly strong, like housing is rebounding, even though mortgage rates, you know, initially caused housing to kind of go limp. Now it's back again. So there are a lot of mysteries. Certainly the job market continues to confound the Fed. This last jobs report was, I think, a real puzzler in the sense that you had over 300,000 jobs created in the establishment survey and over 300,000 lost in the household survey. You know, no one really has provided an adequate explanation for that, but it is certainly a contradictory trend. So my heart goes out to Jay Powell and his colleagues. You and I are struggling to figure it out. I think they're struggling to figure it out. But best guess right now, there seems to be a consensus to some degree that they will indeed pause in June next week, the 13th, 14th, their meeting. That's now called a skip. That seems to be really important Wall Street terminology, by the way. And then at the next meeting, dependent on the data, they might hike again. I think what's wrong with that, John, everybody wants this to be over. We want to have this cycle of rate hikes done and finished so then we can move on to a time when rates are steady, businesses can plan, the economy can start to grow again, even with those somewhat elevated rates, and we can get into another bull cycle. Now, the stock market, surprising a lot of people, has come back pretty nicely here. We're within shooting distance of getting back to where we were before the 20% drop, before the bear market. occasioned by rate hikes and the Fed toughening their stance. So it seems like investors are willing to say we're at that next steady level and that we're at that next starting point for the next bull market. I don't know. I mean, I think that's a little risky because earnings are projected by a lot of people to be coming down later in the year, mainly because companies have been pushing through all cost increases through price increases. And reportedly, consumers are beginning to say, enough, we're not going to swallow this anymore. And that really changes the perspective or the prospect of earnings later in the year. So, you know, we'll see. Again, I think the Fed should go ahead, hike rates this next meeting, and then stop and just see what the fallout is, because their balance sheet has shrunk enormously. We've never seen this kind of drawdown in the money supply. We don't really know how that's going to impact growth, but it's not probably very good for growth. And I think that there are an awful lot of indicators that we're going to see slower and slower growth and maybe a recession later this year.
Two indicators, one very positive and puzzling, one very negative and puzzling. The positive is that blindingly big jobs number last week.
Yeah.
Blindingly big. Nearly double the estimates from Wall Street, which means why are we waiting for Wall Street to tell us what's going to happen? But if you miss by 50% or 100%, you're out of the game. The other one that hangs over us, and I was waiting to see how the Wall Street Journal remade its page, they can't sell and they can't finance. They're talking about commercial real estate. They've now totaled up over the next 3 years, $1.5 trillion in commercial mortgages are coming due, and nobody knows certainly what the future is, but there are increasing anecdotes of people with loans that are just turning over the keys to their lender and walking away in major cities. Now, is that enough to confuse the Fed, the jobs number, and the commercial real estate storm that's coming our way?
Well, the jobs number clearly is a problem for the Fed. I mean, again, it is a wacky jobs report because there were these discordant signals. I mean, you had this huge 300,000 plus increase in jobs created in establishment businesses. But again, household employment went down by over 300,000. What some people think that means is that people who are self-employed, who had during COVID taken on gigs, you know, become an Uber driver or, I don't know, all kinds of different kind of self-employment jobs are now going to work at companies because they're either their self-employment hasn't worked out or because the demand from companies for regular employees is still pretty strong. I don't know what to make of these numbers. I hope the Fed does. One thing that was positive in the jobs report is that the workforce participation for the prime working age men did go up, and we want to see that happen. The other thing that was kind of curious to me, John, is that unemployment rate went up, as you remember, 0.3%, which I actually can't make the numbers work. I don't exactly know how that happened, but anyway, that is what happened. So that's a crazy number. And I think the Fed absolutely has to deal with that. On the other side, the commercial real estate, that's a problem. There's no question about it. It's a bigger problem because it really reflects the hardship in a lot of our big cities. I would say big blue cities because it mainly is New York and Chicago and San Francisco and LA and Philadelphia and these cities that have allowed crime to run rampant, forced people to leave because of high crime, high inflation, et cetera. You know, I live in New York City, and I think everyone is concerned about the fact that people are still not back in these office towers 5 days a week. If they're back 3 days a week, is that enough? I don't know. It's not very good for all the tens of thousands of businesses in all these cities that rely on office workers. I have to say, as a side note, I thought one of the dumber things that the city council in New York recently talked about doing was allowing municipal employees to work remotely. That's the worst possible signal you could give to a workforce and an employer base in New York City is to say, oh, yeah, it doesn't matter. Let them stay home, work one day a week in the office. Boy, do we not need that. We need people coming back to these office buildings because, as you point out, this commercial real estate overhang is extremely severe. By the way, that's not the only problem for banks. Compounding bank problems is the fact that now you have talk of pretty significant hikes in reserve requirements, capital requirements, excuse me. And, you know, I just think that couldn't come at a worse time. I think forcing the banks to up their capital when already credit's tight and banks are being cautious, I think it's a very poor idea.
The debt deal that dominated the news for weeks is now behind us. I can't find it anywhere. The president made an Oval Office address one Friday night, and the signing was Saturday. Did it in any fashion damage or inhibit the growth numbers that we see now? There is growth. The Atlanta Fed tells us that. Was there a connection, yeah, Liz, or was it a one-off, we'll revisit this sad tale in 2 years? Is that all it was?
Well, I would hope, and this is just hope at this point, that it has brought to the fore and the real issue of Americans' debt and deficit situation. Americans are now concerned about the amount of money we owe. They're concerned about the deficits that we're racking up every year. I think that was a very positive outcome of the debt ceiling debate. I don't know if you saw, there was like one poll from CNN that 60% of Americans did not want the debt ceiling raised without spending cuts. That's a pretty bold response, considering that the president was saying, no, we don't need to have any spending cuts. I think Americans are aware that we had this giant bubble of spending because of COVID. COVID's over, and now that giant bubble of spending really has to start to deflate. It didn't during the debt deal that was struck by McCarthy and Biden was better than just okaying Biden's spending preferences. I think McCarthy did about as well as he could have been expected to do, but it's just the beginning. We have got to see this fall, when we get into the 12 different appropriations bills and coming up with whatever kind of probably a continuing resolution is passed, we have got to see a tougher stand taken by Republicans, and I hope we will. And by the way, that is not good for growth, GDP growth for sure, but it has to happen.
Elizabeth Peake writes for The Hill, a column, writes for Fox News, a column, and she's much on Fox Business. We're going to turn to the campaign trail and Liz's observations about the debates forthcoming. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.